Get your hooves into this cracking offer from Paddy Power. It's money back as a free bet on all losers if the starting price favourite wins on at least one race every day of the Punchestown Festival. Find out each day's race online at paddypower.com. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello, one and all, and welcome back to Punchestown for our latest instalment of this festival postcast series. Joining myself, Lee Motstead, here on the steppings of the main grandstand. We've got my lovely Racing Post colleague, Justin O'Hanlon, another lovely Racing Post colleague, David Jennings, and from our lovely sponsors, Paddy Power, Mr. Paul Binfield. Hello, one and all. Just the eight races to get through today, and we will start with what might well be my favourite race in the entire calendar. It's the Farmers' Race, the Bishop's Court Cup, a typically terrible renewal this year, with one of the runners being King Norman, who's fallen on his last four outings. David, will you be tipping King Norman?
This race is a barrel load of shite, really, to be honest.
Producer Jack, can we say that? Oh, he's putting his thumbs up. Okay.
And that's been nice. That's been nice to us. So instead of studying the race and giving my valid information, which is usually very valid, I would like to give a shout out to somebody in Australia. I have found my one and only fan.
You haven't.
There is one on earth. Now, he's not in Ireland, he's not in England, but Anthony Whelan in Australia listens to the podcast every day, and apparently he's a fan of David Jennings. So I don't know what's going to win the Banks race, Anthony, but I have winners for later on the card.
Anthony, we love you. Binners, the Bishop's Court Cup.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go for Das Musa, last year's winner. Mark Fahey and Richie Deegan, who had a winner yesterday. Yeah. She's a lovely jumper for a mare. And
what do you mean for a mare?
Well, you know, sometimes...
You can't say things like this.
No.
Like that.
I'm on the diversity in racing group. You cannot say to me, she's a lovely jumper for a mare.
Okay, well, like geldings as well, some of them can't jump and some mares can't jump. She jumps really well for a mare. She won the race a year ago. Okay. All right. Okay. I think she'll win anyway, Lee.
Who was that again?
Das Musa.
Das Musa. Justin, you're a fan of the race?
Well, you know, I seem to be unfortunate enough to end up doing the analysis of this race every year. And I think every year I've started with, this race has no place at this festival. And I think I'll probably end up doing the same tomorrow. Das Musa is the only horse in the race I know anything about. Won the race last year, hasn't run since. I suppose, you know, process of elimination.
Yes.
I think basically for viewers and riders, it's a case of close your eyes and hope for the best.
Well, of course, it's not a Banks race, to correct Jenna. It's run over the regulation fences here. But it doesn't stop there being about, you said it was a Banks race, it doesn't stop there being about 8 or 10 followers in the race every year either. But Das Musa looks a safe enough proposition.
It's possible that DJ mentioned the Banks race in one of his many other previews that he's been doing this morning. He's been over there, he's been here, there. He's a man very much in demand, which is why he has fans in Australia. The 420 is a conventional horse race, a €100,000 novices handicap chase. Paul, not for the first time in this post, I'm going to ask you, have your boys priced it up?
We haven't priced this one up yet, Lee. However, we have today paid out on Willie Mullins to be the champion Irish trainer. We've paid out 2 days early. He's only a few grand ahead, but after his sensational sextet yesterday, we're paying out ahead of the coronation on Saturday.
Just on that point, and whilst I do recognise that you are our sponsor and therefore you are financially keeping this vehicle floating, is that not just a cheap publicity stunt?
We never, you know, Paddy Power, we never conduct cheap publicity stunts. We always do things for the right reason. We want to give punters their money early because we think King Willie will be crowned on Saturday, and I'm a little bit disgusted at you accusing my company of cheap publicity stunts. We would never do it.
No.
Sorry?
Just expensive.
Well, exactly. We are 5 places on this race, being a little bit more serious now, Lee.
Yes, that's good of you.
I'm going to go for a sizing network for Jesse and Robbie Power. Pulled up at Cork last time, but before that was an easy winner over just a little bit further at this course. So that would be my selection in this contest.
A very reasoned case there from Mr. Binfield. Mr. Jennings, a man with the Australian fan.
Yeah, I'm going to take a flyer on one that's going to be a monumental price here. Could be a huge price. I'm going to chance Conrad Hastings from the Henry de Bombhead stable. Noel Feely's on board. Now, form figures of... let me just get his form figures here. So form figures of 5-0p would not usually be what you would consider good form heading into a race like this at the Punchdown Festival. But Conrad Hastings, if you go back through his form, he won at Killarney in July and he jumped impeccably that day. He was brilliant. And since then, next time back at Killarney, he was just beaten by Peregrine Run, half a length, and a further head back in third that day was Ratfinden. So that form looks really strong. There were 16 lengths clear of Sea Light back and forth. I just wonder, has this been the plan for a while? Went to Cheltenham, just things didn't happen there. It's just this type of race, I always thought, given how well Conrad Hastings jumped at the start of the season, I just thought it might fit into the process. And yeah, at a huge price, I'm hoping Conrad Hastings could go well.
Well, do you know, before I came over here, I actually spoke to Henry de Bromwyd, his trainer, and he sent his regards. And he said that he thought Conrad Hastings never got into the race at Cheltenham last time, was disappointed, but he thought getting back on better ground at Punchestown would be in his favour.
Yeah, oh, certainly. So ground is a big thing. Like, I think these are the best 2 days, the Thursday and Friday weather-wise, and into Saturday. I think the start of the week we had heavy, heavy showers. I don't think they're going to be quite as heavy. And if Noel Feely is just really good at getting horses jumping, I think he's the perfect partner for Conrad Hastings. Look, he could be 25s, could be 33s. He's got a chance.
Like the sound of that. Justin, have you got a 25s or 33 shots to tip?
Probably not. I like the top weight Kenboy, I have to say. I think he's improved throughout the season. Apart from his first fence fall in the Irish National, his jumping has improved as well, and he was impressive at Limerick the last day when he won that grade three. I think off a mark of 147, he's probably well handicapped, even though he's given weight away all round. I wouldn't look any further than him.
Okay, now at this point normally we'd go for a commercial break, but I'm going to change all that because the two grade ones are races 4 and 5, so it'd be quite nice if we had those in one little chunk. And producer Jack's nodding his head in approval, which is good. So we'll go straight on to the third race. Again, a 2.5 handicap chase. This one for mares, the Glencarrig Lady chase. Justin, packed deep, this one.
It is. Well, it's deep in terms of in terms of not very positive, not very positive depth. I would say. I like Synopsis. I think I thought she was pretty impressive when she won a poor enough race at Thurles. Probably improved on that the next time out, and she's down off a nice mark of 10.5, and probably is another one that's reasonably well in off a mark of 123. I think she'd probably take the beating, but also another one down there around the same mark as Head Turner, who's, I think, it could be one that'll win a race like this at some stage. But Synopsis would, I think I'd just about go for her.
Okay, Synopsis for Justin Bolt.
Justin's looking amazingly smart today. A man known for his sartorial elegance.
Well, he's going to a lunch.
Oh, he's going to... Is that what it is? But very, very smart, Justin.
Soup's going cold.
Lunch will end up all down here anyway, you know.
Well, I'm going for Billy's Hope, Jessica Harrington and Dona Mailer. Bit disappointing on his last couple of runs, but if returns to the form of a comfortable win at Turley's in November, I think would have a chance in this race.
Does she jump well?
I'll have to watch a few more replays, but I think she does.
Good. Lovely.
Don't ask hard questions.
Just, Binny's had made a strong statement earlier on about the jumping mares.
You're filming this so early on the third day of Punchestown, Lee. I haven't had a chance to go through all of the replays, but my sources do tell me she's a good jumper.
Sources. David, have you got a whopper Rooney in this one?
I do. This is possibly my strongest fancy of the day.
Really?
Yeah, I fancy something I do in life very, very well.
Hang on a minute. Hang on, I'm just trying to work out what it might be. Something you... Slow motion?
Yeah, slow motion.
You're Mr. Speedy. You rattle through things.
Ah, no, I'm very slow, really. Deadlines are more guidelines to me now. No, not teacher's pet, no. Slow Motion was second in this race last year off 1.38. I thought it was a better renewal last year. Definite Ruby won the race. But you've got to remember, this mare, who jumps quite well, Paul, went on to finish third in the Galway Plate. Like, that's a cracking run. Balco de Flow, Shane's Hill. It was a really, really good run. And the key thing is, she had a 96-day break before the Galway Plate. She's back from a break now. Hasn't been seen since November. I think she goes really well fresh. And if you actually, a lot of JPs, they tend to have targets. And I'd imagine that this horse has had this target for some time. It's probably going to be this race and then the Galway Plate again, because it ran so well in these two races last season. And I think that Slow Motion is a class act in the race. I think she'll outclass these. I'd be pretty sweet on her.
And what sort of price would you be hoping to see?
Sixes. Yeah.
Will he get sixes?
I'm not sure, Liz. We haven't quite priced this race up yet, but we are hoping to by the end of the day.
Gorgeous. Okay, that then wraps up part one. In part two, we're talking about the S-Horse.
Get your hooves into this cracking offer from Paddy Power. It's money back as a free bet on all losers if the starting price favourite wins on at least one race every day of the Punchestown Festival. Find out each day's race online at paddypower.com. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to our Racing Post podcast, looking ahead to day four of the Punchestown Festival. And this is the key section of the programme because we're looking ahead to the two grade ones on the card, the first of which is a fascinating Betdaq Punchestown champion hurdle because Sam Crowe is in action. Paul Binfield, how is the Paddy Power betting looking?
Yeah, absolute cracker this one, Lee. Sam Crowe, the second coming, 10 to 11, 9 to 4 Melon, 8 Super Sunday, 10 Wicklow Brave, and you can have 20 the rest.
Right, okay, I shall come back to you for your thoughts in a second, but first of all, Mr. Jennings, I believe you are just about the biggest Sam Crowe fan on this island. Would that be fair?
Absolutely, no question or doubt about it. Me and Sam Crowe are like Laurel and Hardy. No?
They do.
Okay. Well, we're big fans of each other, and he told me personally that he's a big fan of me. But
two Ronnies, they were friendly.
Two Ronnies, yeah. This horse, I just like you can probably see it in my face. I just get so excited even talking about, writing about Sam Crowe, talking about Sam Crowe, looking at Sam Crowe. Everything about Sam Crowe just really gets me jiggy. And
I don't like that phrase. Gets me jiggy.
Okay, sorry. And but I just think this is the old, like we said it at Cheltenham before the Ballymore. I remember being on podcasts, even at the Dublin Racing Festival before the Delight. We all say this is the only time you're ever going to get back Sam Crowe at anything close to even money. Came to the Ballymore. This is the only time you're going to get to back Sam Crowe at even money. And again, this is the last and only time you will ever get this price about Sam Crowe. Like, he's never started odds against. He's always been odds on in all his races. He is the best young horse I have ever seen. And I think he will win a Gold Cup someday. I think the hype is completely justified. The form of the Ballymore has worked out spectacularly well. Next Destination obviously won earlier on in the week. Black Op came out next time at one at Aintree. And things went wrong. He hit the front too soon at Cheltenham as well. I think he's got loads of pace. I think he's amazing. And I will be absolutely devastated if Sam Crowe doesn't win. And my advice would just be to everybody, just take that 10 to 11 with Paddy Power. And there's even a little bit of even money elsewhere. I think he's a certainty.
So DJ Torn between Sam Crowe and Melon for the champion hurdle. Justin, is your perspective on this showdown the same? Because, I mean, Melon is the champion hurdle second, and he was almost the champion hurdle first. So, although, you know, Sam Crowe might well be the second coming, this will at least give us a real assessment of where Sam Crowe is as a hurdler.
Well, let's look at it this way. Melon has beaten Mick Jazz twice this season, beat it by the same margin twice this season. Mick Jazz isn't on the same planet as Sam Crowe. I fully expect, like DJ said, Sam Crowe to win this and win it well. I'd say this race will determine whether they go champion hurdle route or novice chase route next season. For my money, he should definitely go for the champion hurdle. It's there for picking up next season, in my view.
Well, before we go back to Paul, DJ, as Sam Crowe's greatest fan, would at this stage you like to see him next March running over fences or hurdles at Cheltenham?
I think he'll win the champion hurdle. I couldn't agree more with Justin. He's 6 now. He'll be 7, obviously, this time next year. He'll be 8 winning the Arkell. He'll be 9 winning the Gold Cup. He'll be 10 winning the Gold Cup. He'll be 11 winning the Gold Cup. And he'll be 12 winning the Gold Cup. So there's plenty of time for 4 Gold Cups.
Bless him. Paul, I want you to give us your assessment using your knowledge of the bookmaking games. Tell me what price we will get some point tomorrow, Sam Crowe.
Very good question, Lee. I'll probably leave that to the punters tomorrow to decide. But I am going to take on Sam Crowe. I think 10 to 11 he might be the best horse ever, according to DJ. But your man Melon is still rated seven pounds higher than him by the official handicapper. Sam Crowe still has it to do to prove against these older, more experienced hurdlers. And he was beaten a fag paper by Bouverdair in the champion hurdle. So I think 9-4 Melon or 10-11 Sam Crowe, I'd much rather have the 9-4 Melon.
Okay, what about, would you give Super Sunday a chance?
I love Super Sunday, you know. coming back to this 2 miles, having run over further, interesting. But I do think it's between the big two in the market, and I've already said I fancy Melon.
Okay. As we speak, there's a jockey just walking down through. Who's that guy? Smoking his cigarette as he walks down to the...
I heard his name, his back is to us.
Right, okay. Well, anyway, that was an interesting interlude. So it's pretty much an all about Sancroft, the champion hurdle, apart from Paul, who is saying that Melon might turn him over. The other grade one on the card is the one that Sancroft could have run in had Gordon Elliott not taken what I think is the great ballsy decision to run him in the champion hurdle. Great for racing fans to see him in that race. But we've got another star horse in this one. An unlikely star horse, because in the 2 mile 4 furlong champion novice hurdle, Palisator, former Doncaster Cup winner, goes in this one. Been turned into a really classy hurdler by, again, Gordon Elliott. Binners, what price?
He's 11-4, Lee Palisator. 11-2 Whiskey Sour, 6 Duke de Ginevra, Jabouche and Scarpetta, 7 Get a Bird, and it's 12-1 bar.
Okay, a deep race, Paul, but maybe not one full of superstars.
Well, possibly not, Lee, but Palisator is a horse that's got his own sort of fan club in many ways, you know.
Are you in it?
I would be, yeah. I thought it was great fun seeing him, Sir Mark Prescott, try and get the best out of him over the last few years, and he's done well over hurdles. Once again, I wouldn't be backing him at that sort of price. I'm going to go for a stable companion, but blow by blow of 14-1 each way with Rachel Blackmore on board. I know the horse has got to turn the form around with Palisator, but I just think he might on better ground. And looking at the Martin Pipe form, I think he's got a great chance of making the frame.
Okay. DJ, the presence of Get a Bird in this race, like the presence of Min in the champion hurdle, underlines that WPM is quite keen to be champion trainer.
He is quite keen to be champion trainer. Like, what Gordon Elliott has done with Palisator is quite remarkable. You know the way you talk about the training performance of the season, like the manager of the season in England? It's like everybody says, oh, Sean Dyche should be manager of the year because what
who's he?
Burnley. He's a Burnley manager.
Football manager. You used to live down the road from Burnley.
Yeah. But he's done a remarkable job with him. And like, obviously the best training performance is getting horses to win Gold Cups, getting horses to win Champion Hurdle. But what Gordon has done, you know, a little bit lower level with Palisator is quite remarkable. This horse was a headbanger of, the biggest headbanger you could find, wouldn't go down to the start, wouldn't budge, wouldn't move. And then when he did decide to move, he would be too keen. Then he wouldn't move again. And he's just a horrible animal that has been reinvented into a lamb. It's like, it's when you see him at Fairy House, it was quite remarkable. He looked the most straightforward horse at Fairy House and at Leopardstown just before Cheltenham. He looked so straightforward, but I actually don't think he's going to win after all that.
Well, sort of a waste of a minute, really, wasn't it, building up? But it was nice.
I just wanted to praise the training feed because what he's done is very, very good. Yeah. I think the biggest engine in this race is Scarpita, but the problem is the worst jumper in this race is Scarpita. If anybody gets a chance, just have a look at his run at Fairy House in the Grade 2 behind Palisator. It was an embarrassing jumping display is the only way I could describe it. At Cheltenham, he was so much better. I think he's a hell of a good horse. And I'd imagine he's been schooled plenty since that day at Fairy House. Paul Townend is riding him. He would have had the choice, obviously. And I think Scarpita is a really, really, really good horse. If he just can get into any sort of rhythm, I think he'll win.
Okay. And Justin.
Well, remember, Palisator's jumping at Fairy House wasn't great either. I mean, he nearly came down at the last.
Final fight was terrible.
Yes, and still came back to win. I agree, he's been reinvented by Elliott. I think probably they were trying to hold him up in his first couple of maiden hurdles, and he was too keen, it wasn't working. They've ridden him a bit closer to the pace on his last twice. I was deeply impressed with him the last day. I said, you know, he really, Gordon really has found the key to him. He's the obvious class horse of the race. I can't see him beat. And by the way, just you remember, Geno, the preview night in Athlone?
Yes.
When Elliot said, someone asked Elliot from the crowd, he said, I think Palisator will win a maiden hurdle, and Jenny just flat out laughed out loud.
Hang on, did you just flat out laugh out loud?
Yeah, but I wasn't. It was misunderstood from the crowd because somebody asked, can I have a winner? And at this stage, Palisator was still a headbanger in my head. And I laughed because I said, oh my God, Palisator, how could anybody have any confidence back in that horse? But since then, he's transformed himself and I look like an even bigger idiot than I was already.
Do you accept DJ's interpretation of that evening?
Well, I'd just like to make it clear, I wasn't trying to make DJ look like an idiot.
No, we wouldn't do that. No. DJ's a lovely man. And just returning to the subject of Burnley, so I grew up in Blackburn, and we always used to say that the best thing about Burnley was the road to Blackburn. Little Lancashire humour there.
Isn't there some liqueur that is drunk more in Burnley than anywhere else in the world?
Wouldn't I? I've only
because,
been once.
The East Lancashire Regiment were based there during World War One or something.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
There you go.
Well, sorry about
it's
that.
Absent or something like that.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Fascinating stuff.
Yes, that was good. Okay, so that was the end of part two. The grade one's wrapped up. We'll be back with the remaining three races in a second.
Get your hooves into this cracking offer from Paddy Power. It's money back as a free bet on all losers if the starting prize favourite wins on at least one race every day of the Punchestown Festival. Find out each day's race online at paddypower.com. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to our preview of day four at Punchestown with Justin O'Hanlon, David Jennings, Paul Binfield and myself, Lee Mottshead. We're going to rattle through the last three races, the first of which, Justin, is the Champion Hunter Chase.
Yeah, I like Cad de Berle. I think it's a two-horse race in Cad de Berle and Ballinasloe. Ballinasloe, of course, won the race last year and came back to form to win at Aintree. But Cad de Berle was banged there at the last in the Fox Hunters at Cheltenham. Just didn't get up the hill over this flatter 3 miles. I think he'll take a fair bit of beating.
Paul, two-horse race?
Don't know, Lee. I'm definitely going to go for Sizing Colford for Jim Draper. He's won his last three, including a point-to-point at Old Town. He had a hard enough race at February at Fairy House, but if he runs to that sort of form, I think he sets the standard.
Why did you have a beaming smile while he was saying that?
Because he said he had a hard enough race at February, and I was thinking, geez, that's a tough track, February.
Sorry, listen, we can't all be smooth on-air professionals like yourself, Dave.
Did you know that Justin O'Hanlon does a very good impression of Paul Binfield?
I did not know. Well, I did because we said before he came on air, but before then, I didn't know. Binners, hang on a sec, I'm going to tee you up. Binners, give us your prices or Paddy Power's prices on the Hunter Chase.
Well, we don't have any prices at the moment, Lee. We hope to have them by the end of play tomorrow.
He does an impression of Barney Roy as well.
I think Barney Roy might win the Hunter's Chase, Lee.
It's Brendan Duke isn't bad as well.
Brendan
Duke, the Curricundra.
Brendan Duke, what's your view on the Champion Hunter Chase?
Well, seeing as Brendan's not here, I don't think I could possibly take him off.
Well, that's very on. Hang on a minute. DJ's got one now.
Hello, David. That's my best. That's all I can do.
Is that Brendan Senior or Junior?
Senior, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was. Do you know, it's like.
Variety hour is finished.
Yeah, who said variety was dead?
Punchestown's got talent.
Yeah, indeed. Well, before we go into race seven, we've got Binners doing a bit of tap dancing on the steps. No, we haven't. We've got Binners telling us who wins the novice hurdle at 7:10.
Wait.
What was that?
Cad de Berle wins the Hunter's Chase. You never came to me.
Oh, sorry, lovey.
I agree with Justin. Ringing endorsement for Cad de Berle.
Okay. What was I saying? Mayor's novice hurdle, 7:10. Binners.
Four places each way, Lee. I'm going to go for Dil Destrovel and Willie Mullins. Disappointing effort in the Martin Pipe at Cheltenham, but a good second in a valuable hurdle at Leopardstown in February before that. And a clever win to the Land of Maiden hurdle at Tremor on New Year's Day. So Dil Destrovel for me.
Dil Destrovel for Paul, for Justin.
Yeah, I fancy Dil Destrovel at Cheltenham. He is a very disappointing run to come back off there. Has a chance. Shady Operator, I think, might have the best, most potential in the race. He looked a decent prospect back in the autumn. Hasn't been seen since he finished second to Sharjah in a novice hurdle at Goran back in November. You know, if he's fitting well to do his job, he might take a bit of beating, but no real confidence.
Okay, and David.
Causey Arch for me, not the Willie Mullins first string on Jockey Buckins. Jumped like a hairy goat at Clonmel. And I'd imagine, again, like Scarpita, they would have done a bit of work with Causey Arch's jumping, but still to have so much left in the tank to recover from all those errors in a race that fell asunder at Clonmel, it just kind of said to me, you know what, this horse has something to offer. It was rated 72 on the flat for Michael Dodds. Apparently its work has improved at home as well. I think they think a little bit of this Causey Arch. So, again, David and Willie, David Mullins and Willie Mullins, Causey Arch for me.
And while we're with you, give us your winner of the last race.
The last race at Fairy House on Friday.
Punchestown,
sorry, I just needed a little interlude there while I got the race up. I would fancy Lone Wolf from the Joseph O'Brien stable, who has had three decent runs under his belt, and I wouldn't have a strong view, but I think he'll go well. Lone Wolf.
Okay, Binners.
All for Joy for Oliver McKinnon. Lee, he's owned by the appropriate named Keep the Faith Syndicate, and as he's finished second on three of his last four starts, that's exactly what they've got to do, but he deserves to win a race, and hopefully it'll be tomorrow.
Good man. And Justin.
Yeah, I like All for Joy as well, in a way, but I mean, he just tends to find one too good for him, and that's probably going to be the case again tomorrow. The one I like is Buddy Rich, who's trained by current trainer Bill Farrell. Now, Bill Farrell has a sort of small but select string, but he tends to follow his winners around Leopardstown, the Curragh, place like this, mostly flat trainer. But he was second in a bumper that's worked out very well at Ferry House in at February in Ferry House, and had a couple of subsequent winners finish behind him that day. I think he could go very close.
Okay. Oh, thank you, team. Right, we're going to finish off with your best bets then for Friday at Punchestown, and we will go first with Justin.
Well, outside of Sam Crow, I'd say Cad de Burley in the Hunter Chase.
Cad de Burley in the Hunter Chase. Mr. Binful from our sponsors.
Melon to overturn the second coming.
Ooh, Melon to overturn the second coming. David Jennings shaking his head and says...
Slow motion.
Slow motion from Mr. Jennings, who's been in rampant form again this week and now has a fan in Australia. That was our preview of day four at Punchestown. We're back tomorrow and the team will not only be looking ahead to day five at Punchestown, but also the final day of the British season at Sandown. Loads to look forward to, loads still to enjoy. Come again and watch or listen tomorrow. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Get your hooves into this cracking offer from Paddy Power. It's money back as a free bet on all losers if the starting price favourite wins on at least one race every day of the Punchestown Festival. Find out each day's race online at paddypower.com. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org.